All right, guys, call to order. Highline Rural Fire District. Reminder to the public that meetings are being recorded.
I'm good.
Sorry, jerk. Any public comment on matters not included in the agenda?
I have something.
Go for it.
I want to share with you, so in the last, really, probably 2 months, we've actually had some really good EMS calls. Alakoots, who you know from the association, she's a paramedic running with us as well now. She was in command here just in the last couple weeks and for a respiratory patient. And she got on scene within 40 seconds. There was nobody else on scene, so she started initiating care. AMR was coming because it came in as just a bad call. Mac was about a minute behind her, and Mac got on scene. And then the engine was a couple minutes out. But she got in there, and the patient was actually asthmatic, non-asthmatic, talking quite well, got into being able to just say a few words, and then just kind of just kept deteriorating. Got her on end-tidal CO2, able to measure how much CO2 was coming off her. It wasn't much, which is bad, right? She's not moving much air. She initiated care, got her on oxygen, got her on end-tidal, started the breathing treatment. Between her and Mac, they got IV access. The engine company showed up, started assisting him. We actually had 4 EMTs on the engine company, so that was good. They started assisting him. AMR showed up. They immediately put her on CPAP, which is actually just kind of a positive pressure to kind of help open up her lungs a little bit. That didn't really help much. While they continued that, they were giving her breathing treatment or a nebulizer. Allie was the one that realized that her actual rate was starting to decrease. So they started bagging the nebulizer into her. Allie and one of our new EMT folks. Sorry, I have to take this. Yes, ma'am.
Long story short, they do good work.
That's awesome.
On a daily basis.
That's awesome.
Cool. Highlight consent agenda, anything to pull or motion to approve?
Motion to approve as presented.
Second.
Richard?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes. Let's put one to the end.
Yeah, or at least delay it, because that individual's not here.
Okay.
Sorry, that was... Anyway, she ended up starting bagging it. Bagging the nebulizer into her, she wrote up our new EMS or EMT person, which is Henry Davis, wrote up with them as well. They ended up having to bag her most of the way to the hospital, so she started to improve. So a lot of ALS was done, a lot of interventions were done. A lot of it started very, very early. In fact, it started about 60 seconds after the call came in, just based on her location. Feedback we got from the hospital, she walked out of there a couple days later, but the feedback that we got from the hospital is if we had not started that ALS care early, she may or may not have lived. Chances are good that she would not have. So
nice.
I just wanted to share with you guys, that's what you're paying for.
That's awesome.
So good work.
It's pretty awesome.
How'd she get there in 40 seconds?
She just happened to be close.
Oh, really?
Like just by sheer luck where that's the awesome. Location was. So.
That's excellent.
She's really, really fast. You
know? That's excellent.
I'm kidding. No, she just happened to be close. So,
nice.
Worked out really, really well. So, I just want to share that with the board and let you know what kind of good work these guys are actually doing. So, and with the ALS stuff,
yeah.
We're doing for the public. So.
Yeah, that's freaking awesome.
That's all I got.
Okay. Push number two.
Mm-hmm.
Trustee.
Well, number two is here.
Okay. Do you want to? I didn't know.
Perfect. Well, I'm Kate O'Brien, right on the treasurer for the association. As you guys may know, we unfortunately, and good news, are both losing Alakoots to the department because she's the new shift captain. We're also losing Mr. Reed Templeton. He's going to move into Indiana, so that's our ex officio position. So we're a little short right now, but we have a lot of good prospects and people who really want to help out. We had our meeting last night for January, and just kind of did a recap of everything we were able to accomplish in the last year, and then everything that we got looking forward coming up this next year. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Cool. Trustee election resolution.
So, as been mentioned, we have two vacant trustee positions that are expiring in May. Pete has already filed his declaration of candidacy, so there's one. We've been informed that our other one was will not be renewing his position. So we will put some feelers out for a trustee position and see if there's anyone interested, and if not, we can advertise in the paper. If we get more than two people that declare for candidacy, we'll have to have an election.
Okay.
So we'll see what that comes out. We'll know next month.
Yeah. Any interest in staying on interim if nobody wants it? Or what's the rules on that?
Oh, if you can do that. I don't know that there's an interim position. I think Walt would have to run again. And if we historically, if nobody runs for the election, it goes to the county commission to appoint somebody.
Okay.
Typically based on recommendation from the board, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Through the connections I have with HOA groups, and there's also a couple of ex-old members of the department that still live in the district that I've kind of poked a little bit, but not really asked. So now that Walt has confirmed that, I can poke and ask a little harder.
Okay. Well, thank you for all you've done for us. Yeah. We're going to miss you.
Yeah, no, we'll all help with, transition and stuff. Yeah,
this term doesn't end till May.
Yeah.
Well, I'll still miss you.
So there is a resolution for Justin to sign that is calling for the trustee election because there are two positions vacant.
Okay.
Yeah, and historically, if we get two positions, then it's by acclamation, mm-hmm. election's mm-hmm. called.
Yep.
So I probably need a motion for the resolution.
So moved.
Second.
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
And Justin?
Yes.
Thank you.
Hiring a third party for district research.
So you guys have in your packet RFP to go out. This has kind of been somewhat of Pete's project a little bit, but basically I took what Pete had sent out in his kind of questions of what we kind of should be asking ourselves, and essentially just made that into a RFP format. So if the board would like, we can put this out and see what we get for responses.
Action or staff direction?
This would be staff direction because it's just sending this out.
Sounds good to me.
Direct them.
Do it.
Okay. The timeline, I just kind of threw, I might have to adjust that a little bit, depending on, do you guys have any preferences for advertisement? Do we want to run it in the paper? Do we want to just send it out to contacts? We can put it in the fire school newsletter.
I think it's always good to do something in the paper no matter what, because people do a search. Mm-hmm. Companies, search nationwide or whatever. So just if there's something, I don't think you need to run it a bunch of times, but maybe a couple days in a month, or every 2 weeks for a month, or whatever.
Then, do we have a list of some firms that are potential contacts that we can send?
I don't know if they're necessarily firms. I mean, Pete knew an individual he sent my way. Again, like we talked about, not doing necessarily a full-blown strategic plan. Mm-hmm. Trying to focus on somewhat smaller project. I know there's fire districts around the state have done kind of toned-down versions that I can ask them who they worked with as well.
I would concur. We want it in the local paper, not much, and then to places we know or have heard of.
There's basically 5 points that we're looking for, and it's basically identify the present and future administrative and business risks to the district, and then present solutions. Identify the present and future operational risks to the districts, including fire station locations, staffing, and equipment. Present solutions. Identify risk of annexation from other jurisdictions. Identify how those risks affect our operation and area of responsibility. Present solutions. Present solutions of best practices from other geographical jurisdictions that can inform and ultimately enhance our service delivery model to operate to industry standard. And then identify how we might engage productively with our neighboring jurisdictions to realize operational and administrative efficiencies, resulting in better customer service.
Yeah, but one thing I may add, it's just more of an elaboration than adding another bullet item, but bullet item number one, just under business risks, just some, you know, 30,000 foot level discussion of, you know, budget, revenue trend lines, budget expenditure trend lines, and capital expenditure trend lines, and just, you know, again, a 30,000 foot level discussion of that, not a, you know, kind of a forensic accounting sort of thing, but a, just looking at that from a planning standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the cost of doing business.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, replacement rate fire station.
That one I don't have anything new on. We're kind of, I haven't really done any more. I mean, other than when I meet with a group, I kind of talk about it. But I think kind of the idea was to look into this district research project, and along with obviously trying to keep informing the public on the station at this point. So,
okay.
Nothing new to report.
Fire chief's report.
In my fire chief's report, you will see last year we ran 684 calls. So that's actually down from the previous 2 years where we were over 700. That's what we ran last year. Roster sitting at 45. So one thing I did want to present to everybody, just so everybody is aware on the board, for the past several months I've been working with our employee attorney on adoption of what's called the FLSA, which is the Fair Labor and Standard Act exemption for emergency services. So this has been now incorporated into our employee manual. And it's basically the exemption from the FSLA to allow emergency responders to essentially work up to, in what our employee manual now says, is up to 212 hours in a 28-day period. So it's taking how we basically look at kind of work periods, and we're going off of a 28-day period rather than a 7-day work week. So basically they now will, and I'll get into this in a second, but basically that they will now be able to work up to 212 hours in that 28-day period without receiving overtime or comp time. As you compare that, if you thought of like a 7-day work week for 4 weeks, which would be the 28 days, that would compare to where they would be required to either receive overtime or comp time at 160 hours. So they can now work up to 212 hours without getting that overtime. This, per adoption, now goes into any position that is not already identified as exempt. So our fire chief, assistant chief, and two division chiefs are already exempt. This will now be basically our paid captains, our holiday staffing into the future. Basically, it's essentially any position that requires response duties will fall underneath this. They're still hourly, so they can work up to 212 hours, but they still receive what their hourly rate is and that. But it basically allows us to not see the payout of overtime that we've seen in the past.
Okay.
Command, overnight command. So we're doing what we can, and really trying to find what we can. I kind of put a bigger kind of explanation of where we're falling into. So right now we have two of our seven needed volunteer captain positions. Well, we soon will once we get to that. But basically, we have Chris Leifer and Sophie Smith, who are current ranked volunteer captains. We have two that are working on shadowing to get there, which is Alexi Ness and Nick Blommel. Ted Ewer, which graces us with his presence tonight, but left the department in December for a paid fire job. We know we are losing Sophie at the end of this month due to relocation. Nick Blommel has informed us in February he's going to take an opportunity to go travel for 6 months, so he will be leaving us. He has indicated that he's going to return to the area once that time is up. We did, as Kate indicated, we have offered and she has accepted the shift captain position to Allie Kuntz, so she will start on February 1st as a fulfilling that paid position for us. We know Alexi Ness is in paramedic school currently. Here in the near future, she is going to have to go do her ride time as a paramedic student, and that's most likely going to be outside of the area. If you do the math on that, we are basically down to one volunteer position currently and in the pipeline of being able to do command in the very near future. With the adoption of the FSLA exemption, I've reworked the training captain and recruitment captain positions to cover one night of command per week. This will affect the amount of time they're on duty during the day. It basically drops them to a 3-day, one night type position. And then the shift captain position, as was detailed in the proposal I had sent out to everybody, will cover two nights per week. So here, February 1st-ish, we will be doing four positions as paid personnel, four nights as paid personnel. Obviously, that's still not enough, so it's still going to require our exempt positions, chief positions, to make up the rest of it. The only hope we're trying to aim for is to potentially have three or four people ready in the fall. And that's pending anybody leaving, obviously, as well. We're trying to throw anything at the wall to make it stick at this point. We feel like we've moved everybody into the position that we could comfortably move into the position. As we've had conversations, as I indicated to the board, we can't necessarily predict or control people leaving for opportunity. And like we said, that's what we want is people to, our volunteers to fulfill their opportunity or fulfill their kind of ambitions and when the opportunity calls. But we are, when we were in a bad position this fall, we are in a really bad position going into this spring. And depending on how the spring goes, how retention goes, I want to kind of present to the board that I can't continue to necessarily work our exempt positions, chief positions, like we have been up to this point, because it's causing burnout, which I have great concerns of what that's going to result in if we continue that practice. that we may have to explore other options if we, well, we honestly, we will have to explore other options if we cannot see some improvement in this, with potentially, I could come ask for another shift captain position to add in some more capacity on that. But that's kind of where we are with our overnight command shortages. Other things, we our holiday staffing ran from December 15th to January 2nd. We employed 6 firefighter EMTs and 3 lieutenants during that period. we are sitting currently at 8 residents at Sourdough, 3 residents at Ray, 3 residents at Cottonwood. Just with people moving, there's going to be a lot of shifting going on in the resident program here in the next couple of months. We do hope we will, by the end of February, once kind of things shake out, we should be back to filled in capacity. We may have one vacancy at the Ray House that goes unfilled currently, but we'll obviously keep recruiting for that as well. With the last completion of our fall academy, we've seen some improvement in the amount of shifts we're able to fulfill with our non-residents. We are up to 7 of 10 shifts, day shifts, being able to be covered. And then training is back up and running. Excuse me. We were on a break during the holidays, but that has resumed. We had 7 members test with Fire Instructor 1 in January. The replacement for Reed's position, the recruitment retention position, actually closed January 16th, and we are going to move into interviews next week in hopes that we'll onboard somebody in February. Reed, again, has informed us that January 31st will be his last day with the district. Mentioned the shift captain has been offered and accepted to Allie Kuntz. Starting February 1st, we assisted Fort Ellis with several wildland fires in December, on December 11th. Committees and things that Chris and I do have not changed. They're still everything we have done. Thankfully, happy to report no firefighter injuries in the month of December. Engine 6-1, unfortunately, because it is a fire truck, is out of service. with a turbo issue on the chassis motor, at best rate for repair. Command 6-3, it's back in service, up and running, after its time out. And Prado has been working diligently to get Command 6-7 up and running, which should be in the next few weeks.
Perfect. Let's go back to 1.
Back to 1.
You're number 1.
You are number 1. Stand up, Sophie. So, Sophie Smith, although she is leaving us in the near future, but has completed all the necessary work to be promoted to captain, and we certainly feel that she deserves the recognition to get to this point. And she has done an incredible amount, even helping with command in the recent months.
Thank you. I've had a good time here, so awesome. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Takes an incredible amount of work. So.
Trustee activities?
I've been in touch on some of the EMS program. Got lunch with Buck tomorrow. I heard today that Three Forks is in a jam for a medical advisor. But that will push the issue if he's willing to do that. And I've noticed that we usually don't do anything unless there's an emergency. So
that's true.
Maybe that'll be an opportunity to push forward, but I look forward to getting up to speed with Buck tomorrow at lunch and being at as many of those as I can make.
Any announcements? Next meeting? What's up, the 17th?
It would be 17th would be the next regular schedule.
Looks fine for me.
Got it.
Good. 217?
217.
Okay.
I don't know for sure that I had put dates in that RFP. That might be done in March. Because I don't know that we can move that fast.
Consultants don't move that quick. Now you all show up, y'all missed it. But Kevin's happy to see everybody. You want to reenact the bidding for everybody?
Okay.
All right, well, we're adjourned unless you guys have any public comment. Cool. All right. Thanks, you guys, for all you do.
Thank you.